Yes, Ukraine. Thank you. The last time I was here for a legal holiday shiur, I don't recall how many years ago it was, but it was one thing I do remember. It was 7 degrees. So I'm not used to 7 degrees in Los Angeles. And so I want to thank the weather that it's just about the same weather as it is in Los Angeles now. And this shiur should be Le'ilui Nishmas Simcha Eliezer David Davis. And Shomer should have an aliyah.
Amen.
So we're all familiar with the prohibition of Marisayim, to avoid doing something that raises suspicion that one has done something wrong, that one has violated the halacha. The Pashtus, it's an Issa Derabbanan, and I want to discuss what the Issa of this, what is the basis of this halacha, what are the parameters of Marisayin, when does it apply, when does it not apply, and there are many, many practical applications that we'll discuss. Just want to start off with some examples from the Gemara and from the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says that one is not allowed to take wet clothing on Shabbos, clothing that fell into water or it was raining, and one is not allowed to hang it up in public to dry out because of the tzenisa of Marisayin, of Chashad, that one might, someone who sees him do that, might suspect that he washed the clothing, which of course is a malacha on Shabbos. Another example that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch is to eat almond, to drink almond milk along with basil, with basil behema, so that it looks like milk, and therefore it gives the impression of basil becholov. So one is not allowed to do that. The Shulchan Aruch says that what one has to do is place some almonds there so that they know that the milk is not real milk. It comes from an almond and therefore it's powdered. Another example the Gemara says is dam dogim. Blood from a fish is mutter. Does not have a din of dam. So if somebody has blood from a fish that's in a kli, in a vessel, and he's drinking it, so then that's going to be also because it looks like dam. And therefore there's going to be an issa of marisayin that people will be choyshe, they'll suspect that he's drinking blood. So Gemara increases says, what you have to do is take some scales from the fish and put the scales in the blood so that everyone knows that it's blood from a fish. Another example, the Gemara in Beitza says that on Yom Tov, one would not be allowed to take a ladder, to carry a ladder that's usually used to climb up on the roof, to fix the roof. One would not be allowed to move it on Yom Tov because then people who see him do that would think that possibly he is going to fix the roof, which is a malacha of boneh, makeh v'patish, on Yom Tov. These are some examples, and we'll see many, many more applications. Just to give an idea of examples from the Gemara and from the Shulchan Aruch. So let's begin with the sources of the basis for the Issa and the principles where it applies. The most obvious source, the most obvious reason for the Issa of Marisayin is because of Cheshad. That people who see somebody doing something which looks like, gives the appearance that he did a malacha, will think that he did the malacha and they'll be choshed. And that's based on a pasuk, v'yisem nikiyim me'Hashem v'Yisrael, that a Jew has to be clean in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of other Jews and not do anything that will bring suspicion upon him that he's doing an avera. And that is based on a Mishnah in Shkolim. The Mishnah says that when the Kohen went in to the Lishka, to take the Chumas al-Lishka, he was not allowed to wear anything that had a hem or that had pockets. He wasn't even allowed to wear shoes because of the suspicion that people might think that he's taking some of the money for himself. That if he'll become poor, people will say, you know why he became poor? Because he stole the money from the Truma Tzaldishka. If he becomes rich, people might say he became rich because he took the money from the Truma Tzaldishka. And the Mishnah quotes the pasuk, V'yisan nikiyim me'ashem v'yisrael, that a person has to be clean in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. Furthermore, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says, Omer of Shimon, Bishvil Avor Dvorim, Omer Teira, Lohaniach Peira, Peira Besot Sodeya. The reason why when we leave Peira at the corner of the field, so you leave it at the end of the Kotzir, at the end of the harvest, not in the middle of the harvest, is because then people might suspect that he's not leaving Peira. If he left it in the middle of the harvest, so then when the end of the harvest comes, they won't see any Peira in the field, and they'll suspect that he didn't take off Peira. So therefore the Mishnah says that that's the halacha, Nikiyisan Nikiyim Hashem and Yisrael, to leave the Peira, the corner of the field, at the end at the end of the harvest. So it seems that the basis is the basis of Marisayim, what we call Marisayim, is based on Chishah, not casting a suspicion on yourself. But in reality, there's another aspect, another dimension to this issur, and that's based on a number of Rashis. Rashi in Beitzah, when he talks about hanging up wet clothes on Shabbos, that's going to be also because of Chishah, that people might think that he washed the clothes on Shabbos, which is an Issur Melacha. Rashi in Avodah Zorah as well says, there's a Mishnah Avodah Zorah that says that one is not allowed to go on a road, on a path, that leads to a Beis Avodah Zorah, that leads to a house of Avodah Zorah. If that road is designated, it only leads to the Beis Avodah Zorah. If that road can go to other places as well, so then it's going to be mutter, because we'll be told there that he's not going to the house of Avodah Zorah, but rather he's going to another place. And Rashi explains that the reason why he's not allowed to go on that road that leads exclusively to the Beis Avodah Zorah is because of Chashan, that people might think that he's going to worship Avodah Zorah, and therefore it's going to be us. So in two places, Rashi says the reason is Chashan. However, increases when the Gemara talks about the Dam Dogim, the blood of fish, that one is not allowed to drink the blood of fish, even though there is no Issur Dam. Rashi explains the mechlaf de dam de hema, because people might think that it's dam de hema. Their haroe oimer muto lechol dam. And a person who sees him drinking that blood might be mezalzel in the issur of dam, and they'll see. You see that it's muto to drink blood. So you're going to cause people to be oimer, because they'll think that what you're doing is mutter, and therefore they will go ahead and drink blood. So it seems that from this Rashi that there's a different issur Marisayim. That Marisayim is based on the fact that you're going to cause people to be mizamzel, that they will take lightly and certainly surim, and go ahead and be oyder their zisurim. So it seems that there's a contradiction in Rashi. But in reality, Ramesha Feinstein says there's no contradiction. There are really two different reasons for the Issa of Marisayim. One reason is Chashad. The other reason is that it might cause people to be mezalzel in certain Issur. Sometimes both of them apply, sometimes one applies and the other doesn't apply. But there are two different reasons for the Issa of Marisayim. Ramesha writes in the Tshuva that Rashi, when the Gemara was talking about going on a road that leads to a Beis Avodah Zorah, Rashi specifically said over there that the Issur is Chashan. Not that people will learn from him to worship Avodah Zorah, that they'll be Mizalzel, and they'll be Mekel, they'll be lenient in Avodah Zorah, because we're not afraid of that. We're not afraid that people will come to worship Avodah Zorah. But we are afraid, we are concerned, that people will think ill of him because they see he's going in the direction on the road that leads to a Beis Avodah Zorah, and therefore the Issur is going to be Chishah. But by certain other Issurim, it could be either based on chashad or based on the fact that people will come to be mizalzel the isurim. They'll think that it's mutter because they see him doing it. And therefore, Moshe has a famous tshuva. He has many tshuvas about Mari Sayin that we'll see. And he has probably more tshuvas than any other pesach that I know, contemporary pesach, about Mari Sayin. And therefore, Moshe writes in the tshuva about there's people, there was a shul that did not have a mechitza. There was a minyan in one of the rooms of that shul that was a kosher minyan. And they rented from that shul a room to have a kosher minyan with a mechitza. But Ramesha writes, if it's not known in the community that they have a kosher minyan in that shul, so he says, then it would be a problem to daven there. Because when people see him going into the shul, they'll assume that he's going, there's only one minyan there that doesn't have a mechitza. And that's going to be a problem. People will be choshed. They will suspect that he's davening in a shul that doesn't have a mechitza, which of course is an issa. So, but then Ramosha adds on and he says that also might be the other aspect of Mari Sayin, not just the chishan, but because there are many people who were, and maybe even today, were more lenient in davening in shuls that don't have a kosher mechitza. So when people see him going to that shul that doesn't have a mechitza, they might come to be mezalzel in the issa of davening in a shul without a mechitza. Because that's something that people don't take that seriously, or many people, I don't know about today, but when Moshe wrote the tshuva, there's certainly many people were not taking it that seriously. And therefore, Ramesha wrote that there's going to be two isurim in davening in a minyan. If the community doesn't know about that kosher minyan, and it's not yudu, it's not mefursam. If it is mefursam, that everybody knows that in this shul, there is a kosher minyan and a side room, so then Ramesha says, we're not going to be concerned because this is something which is known. People won't have chishad, that they won't be suspecting that he's davening in the minyan without the mechitza, and also they won't come to be mezalzel in the issa of davening without the mechitza. So we see that sometimes both of these dimensions of the issa of Mari Sayin apply. Actually, we call them we use different terms for them. One term is chishad, that's the suspicion, and the other term is Mari Sayin. The Mari Sayin, that generic issa of Mari Sayin, really has two different principles behind it. One is chishad, and the other is that people might learn from him, and come to be mezalzel, come to take lightly in this. There is another important question about Mari Sayin, and that is, does Mari Sayin apply when the chishad is that he's doing an issa d'rabban? In the case of hanging up wet clothes on Shabbos, people might be choshed he did an issa d'raisa of kibbutz on Shabbos. What about where the whole chishad, the whole suspicion is that he did an issa d'rabban? So the Ramon says in Shulchan Aruch that to take almond milk and to eat it together with basar, to eat it together with meat, with beef, right? One, that there is an issa Mari Sayin over there, because people will think that you're eating basar v'chalav, and therefore you have to put the shkedim, you have to put the almonds on the side, so they'll know that the milk is part of the milk. What about because eating milk and meat is an issa d'oraisa, so there will be a chashad that you're doing an issa d'oraisa. What about having the almond milk together with basar olaf, with chicken? Because there is no issa d'oraisa, basar b'chalav does not apply in d'oraisa by olaf, by basar olaf. That's only an issa d'rabbanan. So would there be a requirement of putting the shkedim, of putting the almonds right next to the almond milk that you're eating together with the basar olaf, with the chicken? So the Ramah says there's no requirement by basar olaf, because then the whole chashad will only be that you're doing an issa d'rabbanan. by basar, by regular meat, chashad, you're doing an issa deraisa. So the issa of chashad, the Ramah held, is only when the chashad is that you're doing an issa deraisa. But not when that, when, not in the case where you, there would be choshid, you're doing an issa deraban. The Shah, however, in the name of the Marshal, disagrees, and he holds that the issa of marisayin of chashad applies even if they will suspect that you're only doing an issa d'rabbanan, and therefore he requires to put the almonds by the almond milk that you're eating together with the basar. And he brings two rayas to that, that it applies even by an issa d'rabbanan. One raya is, there's a Gemara that says that one is not allowed to lead an animal that has a bell on it, and the bell that wear, that's wearing a bell, to lead it in the street on Shabbos, even if there's no Shaila Hotzor, because people who see him doing that will suspect that he's taking the animal to the shuk, to the marketplace, to sell it on Shabbos. That's the way apparently they used to do it. They would have an animal that was wearing a bell on it. The bell didn't have the ringer in it, so there was no Shaila of Mashmiyako. But it gave the appearance that he's taking it to the shuk. Now, Mekach u'Memkah on Shabbos is an Issa d'Rabbanan, it's not an Issa d'Oraisa. And yet, the Gemara says that's going to be also because of Marisayin. So the Shach says, we see that Marisayin applies when the Chishash is that people will think that you're doing an Issa d'Rabbanan. In addition, there's a Gemara in Sulis that talks about a drain pipe which is stopped up, and a person is cleaning out the drain pipe with his foot. He's doing it kila'acha yad. And the Gemara says over there that there's going to be an issa of marisayin. Do it itzina, do it in a hidden manner, but otherwise there would be a marisayin if you do it in public. And but the issa over there, since you're doing kilacha yad, it's bishinui, it's only an issa d'rabbanan. So Tosis points out over there that there's going to be, even by an issa d'rabbanan, there's going to be an issa of maris and issa of marisayin. So this is a machlokes between the Ramah and the Shach, and the minhag ha'olam is that we follow the Shach, that there is an issa marisayin when it looks like, it will only look like an issa d'rabbanan. And this has a very interesting practical application by chasanis. When you go to chasanis, and they're serving meat, and they serve margarine, which is parav, or parav a creamer, or today there's parav a cheese as well, right? So is there an issa of marisayin that the person will have a parav a cheeseburger, or will use creamer by the today? When in drinking coffee at the end of a meal at a chasana, is it necessary to leave the wrapper there, to leave the container there on the table? I remember many years ago, this was the practice of leaving the container, the part of the creamer, on the table. Today, I don't think it's done. They put it in a vessel, and people just pour the powder of the creamer. They don't leave the container or the wrapper there. But this was a major shaila, and the Seich Hemed writes about this, about a chasana suda that was done in his time, in which they served meat, and they also brought something that looked like cheese, but it was made from eggs. It was made from eggs, but it had the appearance of cheese. And they ate it together, the meat and this egg, this cheese that was made from a part of the cheese. And the Seich Hemed says that you have to put some eggshell there so that people will know that the cheese was made from the white of eggs. But it seems that according to that, you should have to have the wrapper or the container on the table, that everyone should know. It looks like milk, the parav v'krima, but they should know that it's parav by having the container there or having the wrapper from the margarine. But it seems that the minhag ha'olam today is not to do that. They don't leave wrappers and containers on the table. And there are basically two reasons for that. The Darkei Tshuva brings down the Sefer Shulchan Gavoa that there was a minhag among the Svardim that at a chasana in which they served meat, they also would have they would have some kind of a food that was made from almond milk. And they would have that look like milk, but they would have it at the same su'ud, at the same meal that they served meat, and they weren't careful to leave shkagin, to leave almonds on the table. And the Darkei Tshuva says that the reason is because over there they weren't actually eating it together. First they had the meat, and at the end of the meal they had this almond milk. So if you're not eating it together, he says there's no concern of marisayin. It really was not, of course, you can't have, after meat, you can't have milk for 6 hours. But over here it wasn't, it was almond milk. So since they weren't eating it together, so the Darkei Tshuva says there was no concern as far as marisayin. And therefore that will apply by the power of the krima. They're not eating it together. It's just in at the end of the meal. So that would be a limud zchus. That would be a justification for our minhog. Furthermore, the Knesset HaGedolah says, he brings down that minhog by the Sfardim, and he says, even if they would eat it actually together, the almond milk together with the meat, there would not be a problem of marisayin. And the Chidor explains why. The Chidor explains that the only time they did this was by a chasana. It was by a chasana. This was like a special delicacy that they served at a chasana. And they would bring it out in very, very special dishes. And they would serve it at the chasana. And since this was the only time they did that, everyone knew, it was the first time. It was public knowledge that the milk that they were using was power of the milk, was almond milk. So he says that when it's Yodua, it's Mefursam, that everybody knows that it's Parav, so then there's no Chishash of Marisayin. So today also, everybody knows we have Parav Mekrima. Everybody knows that there's margarine, and that when they're serving it, it's Parav, it's not real milk. So something which is so well known, and the same thing might apply by a Parava cheeseburger, because everyone knows today. See, years ago, people didn't know that. People didn't know that there's such a thing as margarine and Parava creamer. So in those times, years ago, they were noyeg to put the wrapper and the container on the table. But today it's become so common and so well known, so there is a justification for not being choshish for marisayin. Indeed, the Badei HaShulchan, the Feibel Konzatzal, writes in the Badei HaShulchan, he doesn't want to rely on that. He says that even today, they should have the container, the power of a krima, and the wrapper for the margarine if they're serving it at a fleshik meal. But it seems that the minhag ha'olam, yesh lumo tzchus on the minhag ha'olam, that today, since it's so mefursam, it's so well known, so that there would be no problem in terms of marisayin with the parava krima. A third very important principle in terms of marisayin is the question of chadrei chadorim. Is marisayin only when you're doing something in public that other people can see? Or does marisayin apply that same action if you're doing it in private? So the Gemara says that when Chazal asked marisayin, kol mokom she'osu chachomim, mishum marisayin afilu b'chadrei chadorim osu. Whenever Chazal prohibited from, because of marisayin, they said you cannot do that even in chadrei chadorim, even in private, even though no one else is around. So Gemara says that by hanging up a wet garment, which is also not just in public because of marisayin. Gemara says even in chadrei chadorim, if you hang it up in your bathroom. Now the question that poskim talk about, what about a wet raincoat? Right? You were drenched in the rain. Can you hang up a wet raincoat? So there are many poskim who say that that's okay because people don't wash raincoats. We're not going to be choshed that a person washed it. They'll realize it got wet because of the rain. And certainly to hang it up in a bathroom for it to dry out would not be a problem. But a wet shirt, a wet towel, wet garments, which could be washed in a washing machine or by hand. So then there would be an issue of my Yisrael hanging it up to dry, not only in public on a line outside, but even in private, because Chazal asked it, Mar Yisrael. However, there is a Tosfos in Ksuvos, Mar Yisrael, even the Chadrei Chadorim, even in private. However, there is a Tosfos in Ksuvos that says that this din of Chadrei Chadorim by Mar Yisrael only applies if the cheshash is that you're doing an issa d'oraisa. Then they ask it, even in Chadrei Chadorim, like the case of hanging up the wet garment, the cheshad is that you washed it, you did an issa d'oraisa, malacha on Shabbos. If, however, the issa is only an issa, would be only an issa d'rabbanan, and people would think that you're doing this issa d'rabbanan, it would not apply in Chadrei Chadorim. And this brings a raya from the case of the drain pipe, that you're allowed to do, you're allowed to clean out the drain pipe with your foot, because that's only an issa d'rabbanan, and since you're doing your derech shini, Gemara says, you do it there b'tzina, do it in private, that no one else is around to see it. So Tosfos asks the kasha, but even b'tzina of Mar Yisrael is also, because Chadrei Chadorim is also. And Tosfos answers, this ksuvos d'asamech, Tosfos answers that since it's only an issa d'rabbanan that you'd be doing, people will think that you're doing issa d'rabbanan. It's really muta in this case, but people will think that you're doing issa d'rabbanan. Chadrei Chadorim does not apply. Chadrei Chadorim only applies when people will think that you're doing an issa d'oraisa. So we have a number of very important principles in terms of the issa of Mar Yisrael. There are some leniencies, a number of leniencies that the post can give. The Shach quotes a Marshal who says that if it's for the purpose of refuah, for the purpose of healing, so then, so even if it's a chaylish embo sakon, there's no pikuach nefesh, someone has to drink almond milk together with basa for his refuah. Right? So it's for the purpose of refuah, there would be no issa of maris, no issa of maris dying, because it's for a very, very important purpose. Chazal did not ask of it if it's for the purpose of refuah. The Shulchan Aruch Harav gives another leniency, a very important leniency. He says, b'mokam hesed gadol, if there's going to be, one is going to incur a great loss, a significant loss of money, so then there is no issa of maris and issa, no issa of marisan. If there's going to be a significant loss, of course, one would have to ask a posek, what's considered to be a hefsid gadol, what's considered to be a hefsid merubeh. And the third leniency, the remark quotes in Yeridei and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, we know that one is not allowed to draw tzuris of the chama and the levona, to draw pictures of the sun and the moon. Because, and not only is one not allowed to draw them, that's an issa d'oraisa, because of losasun iti, lehei chesed, lehei zor, but even to have those pictures, to have them, but the Ramah says, if it shall rob him, and the reason for that is not to have them, because there's a chashad. There's a chashad, suspicion that maybe somebody is worshipping them. He's using it. They used to worship the sun and the moon. So maybe somebody is worshipping them as an Avodah Zorah. So therefore, one is not allowed to have them. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, though, that Rabbi Gamliel had in his attic, he had pictures of the moon and the stars for Kiddush, for the purpose of Kiddush Shah Chodesh, the Eidim would come, and he would show them the pictures. And the Gemara asked, well, isn't there a Cheshad? How could Rabbi Gamliel have those pictures of the sun, moon, and stars? And the Gemara answers, "Bishel Rabim Lecha Cheshado," that since this was something that was Shel Rabim, it belonged to the Rabim, was for the purpose of the Rabim, for the purpose of the Tzibur, for the purpose of the Bez Din, the Kiddush HaKodesh, there is no Cheshad. It's only by an individual that there's going to be Cheshad, but not Bishel Rabim, because we assume that Bishel Rabim, they're not going to there's no Cheshad that will be either the Issa, but Rabim Lecha Cheshada. However, the Shach points out that Mikol Makom, the Chua Hadova, it's not proper. The case of Rabbi Gamliel, it was proper because they needed it for Kiddush HaKodesh. But otherwise, for an individual, even though there is no issa of Cheshan to have those pictures, but it is not, it's a davar mechua, it's not a proper thing to do. So a number of interesting shaylos that Ramosha Feinstein writes about, applications of Marisai, contemporary shaylos. There was a chasana hall in a conservative temple. And they were going to make the chasana there in the conservative temple, and they had the social hall was for the banquet, for the chasana banquet. So the shaylo that Ramosha was asked, is one allowed to go into that conservative temple for the chasana? Of course, one is not allowed to go into a conservative temple to daven. That's for sure, it's osur. And if one goes there to daven, there's an issa of marisayin, an issa of chashad, that he's davening. If he goes into the temple, there's an issa of chashad, that he's going to daven there and joining the conservative minyan. But what about going to the chasana, that's going to be held in the conservative temple, and attending the chasana banquet? So Ramosha writes that it's going to be muta. Why is it muta? Ramosha writes because, first of all, at the time when he's going, it's not a time for davening. So no one's going to be choshed him when he walks into the conservative temple that he's going to daven in the minyan there. Even if they have a minyan during the week, who knows? But no one's going to be choshed because it was not a time for davening. So therefore, there's no cheshad that he's going to be joining the minyan. And that's based on, Ramosha says, that's based on that Gemara, and the Gemara who paskins the Gemara from Avodah Zorah, that a chotzer shel Avodah Zorah. Besides that, Ramosha says there's another reason. The other reason is people know there's a social hall there. They know that this is a chasana hall that people bring in a caterer, a kosher caterer, and they have a chasana there. So people know that. They know there's a conservative temple, a synagogue, but there's also a chasana hall. So when people see the person going in, they'll assume, they'll be toiler, they'll attribute it that he's going to the social hall for the chasana. And that's based on the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, where you have the road. If the road only leads to a base Avodah Zorah, it's designated only for that, that's a problem of Marisayin. But if that road leads to some other place as well, where it's not a problem, there is no chishad, so then one would be allowed to go on that road. So Ramosha said over here, if it's known that there is a chasana hall there, so, and some people are going in for the chasana hall, not for the purpose of davening there. Ramosha says it's even permissible to actually have the chuppah in the conservative temple. It's not a time of davening, not a time of when they're davening, but to use the conservative temple for the chuppah, because we're not going to have any chashad. And Ramosha says there are those people who are makdid not to have a chuppah in a shul. Right? There's a minog by many not to have a chuppah in a shul because of kedushas beis haknesses. But he says that's in a kosher shul which has kedushas beis haknesses. Conservative temple is not a shul, has no kedushas beis haknesses. And therefore, you can even attend the chuppah in the conservative temple, because even those who have the minhag not to have a chuppah in the shul, but there's no problem having the chuppah in the conservative temple. So the Ramosha is using this idea that if it's known that there is a social hall there for the chasana, so there's not going to be a maris ayin, and therefore he was matir to attend that chasana that was taking place in the conservative temple. One of the biggest shaylos in terms of marisayin that many, many people face is the question of going into a trefa restaurant. There are a number of different reasons why a person would have to go into a trefa restaurant. If a person has to, he has to buy a drink, very, very thirsty, he's driving on the highway, and then he wants to stop off and go into a McDonald's to buy a Coke, right, to use the restroom. And then sometimes there's a shayla in terms of business meetings. When a person has a meeting with a client, right, and he has to go, someone who's involved in finances or an attorney, and they have to go into a trefa restaurant for a business meeting, because very often that's where business meetings take place. Is there a heter or is it also to go into a trefa restaurant? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this, probably one of the early tshuvas about this shayla, to go into a non-kosher restaurant. Rav Moshe says is also because of marisayin and because of chashad. Both marisayin and chashad, that people will suspect you're going in to eat tarfis. And also there could be a marisayin that other people will learn from there that it's mutter to go into this restaurant. Especially if it's a restaurant, it's not a McDonald's that everybody knows is trade, but it's a restaurant, a vegan restaurant that has problems in terms of eating in a vegan restaurant because of even if there's no basar, but you have to check the bugs and the vegetables, and therefore there's a problem mitzad that. Especially if there's that people could learn from him that it's mutter to go in there, because this frum person went in there, so they might extrapolate and say, yeah, it's mutter to go in and eat. So however Rav Moshe writes, if a person is very hungry, or he's mitzayer, tuva, that he has a lot of tzar, and he has to go in to buy something kosher there, he's going to buy a Coke, or even to sit there and drink it or eat something which is kosher. So Rav Moshe says, if a person has that tzar, because the mokum tzar, there's going to be a lot of tzar, or the mokum seder, there's going to be a financial loss, a big financial loss. So Rav Moshe says, then it's under those circumstances is going to be mutter. And he says, but he qualifies this. He says, the people who are inside the restaurant will see that you're just drinking a Coke. You don't have to worry about them. The problem is, when you're walking into the restaurant, people, if there are Jewish people outside who see you walking in, so then they don't know why you're walking in. And they're not seeing what exactly that you're eating, that you're only drinking your Coke. So Rav Moshe says, the people who are outside, though, who don't know that you have, that you're mitzayer, you should tell them. If you see any Jews outside, tell them, I'm only going in because I have tzar, because I have to get a Coke, or I have to use the restroom. So you should tell them if you see people who are standing outside. But it would seem from a Moshe's tshuva that it's dafka in the case where you're having tzar, where there would be a very big loss if you don't go in there. But for a business meeting where you're not going to incur, if a person was told by his employer, you have to go to this meeting, and if you don't go to the meeting, you're going to lose your job, that's a hefsek gadol. But if it's just a meeting with a client, and it's not going to be a big loss, a hefsek, it might be a minias revach, that you won't make a profit, that's not considered to be a hefsek. But if it's going to be a loss that you'll lose principal or you lose a job, that's a big loss. So then that would be mutter, even according to Rav Moshe. But otherwise, it would seem from this tshuva of Rav Moshe that it would be a problem. However, this is a very, very difficult situation for many people. They face this situation of having business meetings in trefa restaurants. Of course, they're not eating anything; they're just drinking something, not eating anything that is asur. And there are poskim who say that today one would be allowed to have a business meeting in a trefa restaurant. And I once spoke to Rabbi Yisrael Belsky. About this, and he said that it's mutter today because people know it's mefursan that people have meetings in trefa restaurants. Business meetings, Chazal say that when you have a meeting over food, it goes much better than if the meeting is not over food. Let me just finish this. So Rabbi Yisrael Belsky said it would be mutter, especially if it's a type of restaurant, it's a fancier restaurant in the business district, it's not a McDonald's. So that's a place where people go for business meetings. Rav David Cohn also said it's mutter. And Rav Osher Reis also wrote a tshuva about this, in which he was matir, having a business meeting in a trefah restaurant. Of course, a person, when he goes into the restaurant, right, the best thing would be is to wear a cap. If not a cap, but you still have to wear a yarmulke. But better, wear a baseball cap so it's not as niker. And of course, whatever you're eating or drinking, of course, has to be no problem in terms of kashrus. And Rav Osher Reis wrote a tshuva in which he was mako basically for two reasons. He said that there is a shaila in the poskim whether the issa of Mari Sayin only applies by those cases that the Gemara says there's an issa of Mari Sayin. What about new situations of Mari Sayin? So the Knesset HaGadolah says that the issa of Mari Sayin applies in other situations that were not mentioned by Chazal in Shas. It applies by other things. That's what the Ramah passed in. The case of the almond milk with the meat, as Mari Sayin, that's not mentioned in Shas. That's the Ramah came up with that issa of Mari Sayin. So according to the Knesset HaGadolah and the Ramah, it applies by new situations of Mari Sayin. The Pri Chodesh, however, argues. The Pri Chodesh says, "Ein biyodeinu l'saken gezeiros v'lesa es hamuta mishon Mari Sayin." We can't make new gezeiros of Mari Sayin. Only what Chazal said is also because of Mari Sayin, like those examples that I mentioned, hanging up the wet clothes on Shabbos, and therefore he actually argued on the Ramah about the almond milk with meat. Pri Chodesh said there is no issa because that has no basis in Shas. So Rav Osher Reis says, we're machmir that there is Mari Sayin even by new situations. However, b'shas hadachak and b'mokam tzorech, so then we can be lenient on that, since there is a shita of the Pri Chodesh that there is no Mari Sayin only on those situations where Chazal would go is a Mishum Mari Sayin. That's one reason. Second reason, he said, is going to be Mutter, is because the Gedder of Mari Sayin changes based on time, based on time and place. Could be that yesterday there was an Issa Mari Sayin, but today, as we mentioned before, with the power of the Krima, right? Today, everybody knows that there's power of the Krima. There is no Issa, there is no Mari Sayin on that. It's only when it first came out and people didn't know about it, then there was Mari Sayin, and then you had to have the container there. And that's based on the halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shatnez, that the Shulchan Aruch says, Shatnez, of course, is wool and linen. Chachomim said, because of Mari Sayin, silk and wool. Your silk look like linen. So therefore, they said, you shouldn't have a garment made of wool and silk. However, the Shulchan Aruch then says, Ha'idna today, that silk is so common, and people can tell the difference between silk and linen, so today that is a Mari Sayin no longer applies. So in a time when people know that it's not an Issur, so then there is no Issur Mari Sayin. And therefore, Rav Osher Reis also paskin, today people know that people have to go to business meetings in a non-kosher restaurant, And therefore, as long as what you're eating or drinking is not problematic, there would be a heter. So we have a number of contemporary poskim who say that there is no issa of Mari Sayin in terms of a business meeting. But from Rav Moshe, it would seem that it is a problem, and one should arrange for a kosher restaurant. There's some very nice kosher restaurants. And to have the business meeting there. There is a very interesting shaila also as far as going back to the almond, the almond milk. So the Darkei Tshuva, there is a question by the almond milk. The Ramah says that you have to put the almonds there. What about putting a sign there? A sign. This is almond milk, right? But not the almonds itself. See, if it's pyrivacrema, so you put the container there. The container, it says pyrivacrema, right? Because that's where it's coming from. It's coming from that container that says pyrivacrema. What about just putting up a sign? Or putting up a sign on wet clothing? You know that you're going to have to hang up wet clothing on Shabbos. By the way, if you hang it up, it's hanging from before Shabbos, there is no shayla of Marisan. So the shayla is only hanging it up on Shabbos, because then there'll be the chashad that you washed it on Shabbos. What about having a sign there? This was not washed on Shabbos. So there are many poskim who say a sign doesn't work. A sign doesn't work. It has to be the natural thing from which it comes from. And therefore, but other poskim say that a sign could work, especially in the case of the shaving the almond milk, because that's not from Chazal. What Chazal would gozer on, a sign would not work. Because Chazal would gozer, even the Chadrei Chadorim, even in private, but what Chazal would not gozer on, but other situations, the new situations of Marisayim, so there are some poskim who say that a sign would work. Yes.
Could you bring kosher food into the restaurant or to a chasna that's not serving kosher food or work? Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, the people there would see that you're eating kosher food. Yeah, as long as it's clear that it's kosher food.
Yeah. Right. What does it mean clear?
You have to have the package in Shanghai, leave the package on the table that says kosher and OU. And so, CRC, I'm in Chicago. So it has to be clear, it has to be nikur that it would be that it's kosher food. Another very interesting shayla. It's talking about going into a conservative temple or going into a trefa restaurant. There's also a shayla of going into a church. We saw before the Mishnah of the Zohar says one is not even allowed to go on a road that leads to a Beis Avodah Zorah. Church is certainly a Beis Avodah Zorah. Christiana spoke about this a number of years ago when I gave the shiur on Sheva Nitzis B'nei Noyach. Christianity, we hold, is Avodah Zorah, certainly for a Jew, even for Goyim, many poskim hold, it's Avodah Zorah. So what about going into the social hall of the church? There's a polling station there. They're voting in the social hall of the church, or there's a Weight Watchers meeting there, or some kind of meeting. You're not going into the sanctuary of the church. That's a nisah d'oraisah to go into the sanctuary of the church. Issa hanoah, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it, a number of different isurim to go into the sanctuary. But to go into the social hall, but to get into the social hall, you have to enter the church building. So on one side there's the sanctuary, on the other side there is the social hall. So the Mishnah says that, again, if the derech, if the road is only miyuchad, it's designated only to go to the Beit Avodah Zorah, then there's marisayim. However, if this road goes to some other place as well, which is mutah, so then there is no issur marisayim. Then with toilet, we assume that you're going to the place which is not the Beit Avodah Zorah. And the person who sees you doing that should attribute it that you're not going to the Beit Avodah Zorah. So based on, and that's how the Ramah paskins that way, and based on that, the poskim say that there's a polling station, there's a Weight Watchers, there's an Alcoholics Anonymous, some kind of a meeting in the social hall of a church that a person has to go to, it would be mutah. And that's based on the Ritva. The Ritva in Avodah Zorah says that the Issa of going on that road is Mishum Chashad. People will suspect you're going to worship the Avodah Zorah. Avol Yesham Chotzer Ledin. But if there's a place there which is for the purpose of a judgment, or Shadarkon Likonish Lasham Lasat Sochem, or there's a restroom there and everybody knows that people use that restroom, Olavo Shom Derech Kapantio, or to make it's a shortcut that people go through there to use as a shortcut. So the Ritva said, so then we're not going to be choshen. There's no chashad and therefore that will be mukta. So if people know, and this I heard happened in Lakewood a number of years ago, that they had the voting stations were in a church in Lakewood, New Jersey, and people went to vote there because everybody knew that there was a voting station there. So even though they were entering the front doors, the entrance to the church, but everyone knew. So there was no cheshad because it wasn't a derech miyucha to the sanctuary. It was a derech that would lead to the voting station, to the voting station as well. So that is going to be mukta. We mentioned before that there is an issa of having pictures of the sun, the moon, the stars because of cheshad. There is the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, Simin Kuf Mem Aleph, also talks about an issa of making a tsura soda, of making a statue of a person. Right? That's an issa deraisa, lo sasam iti elohei chesed elohei zol, lo sasu lechem. But not only that, there's also an issa to have a statue of a person because of cheshad. And the cheshad is a machlokes rishonim, what the cheshad is. There are some Rishonim, most Rishonim say the Cheshad is because they used to worship Tzura Sodom. So what's the Cheshad of Avodah Zorah? That you're worshipping the statue. And other Rishonim, the Ramban, says the Issa, the Cheshad is that it's a Cheshad that maybe you made it or you hired somebody to make it. So but there is a Cheshad of having statues of a human being. Statues of a person, and possibly even dolls that are in the tzura of a person. So, and that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Also, lahashosom, you're not allowed to have it in your house. So, what about today? Is there this issa marisayin to have a statue, to have even a doll, an expensive doll? I'm not talking a ragged, not a raggedy Ann doll, but an expensive doll. Is there any kind of issa today? An issa of marisayin? So, possibly there would be, but the Chokhmas Odom says, if the cheshad is based on cheshad that we're worshipping that surah Odom, Chokhmas Odom says, Bizman hazeh, we're not going to have that cheshad. Because the dead people don't worship B'nai Odom today. They used to be. Haman was worshipped. He made himself into an Avodah Zorah. Paro was an Avodah Zorah. Right? But today, people don't worship other people, and they don't worship Tzuras Odom. And therefore, unless it's some kind of a Christian representation of a saint or of Yoshua, then of course there would be Asur. There would be a Cheshad. But if it's just a tsura, it's a statue of a person, or it's a doll, there's not going to be a cheshad. That's the Chokhmas Odom. So he said, it's still also to make the sculpt of a figure of a person, because that's an issa deraisa of lo sasa niti, elohei chesed elohei zol. But the cheshad that he's worshipping it does not apply to it. That's the Chokhmas Odom. Chassam Soifer, however, disagrees with that. He argues with the Chokhmas Odom, and he says there is marisayin today as well, on the statue of a person, and therefore the Chassam, it's a famous tshuva of the Chassam Soifer, that if one has a statue of a figure of a person, you have to cut off part of the nose or part of the ear, so it's not showing. So if one has figurines, according to the Chassam Soifer, one would have to so make some kind of a blemish in it, and so there wouldn't be a cheshad. According to Chassam Soifer, possibly on the doll, one would have to do that. However, Rav Avadi Yosef in Yichaveh Das quotes a tshuva from the Marit, and he says that even if there is cheshad on the tsura sodom, on a statue, on a figurine, that's only if it's choshu, it's expensive. It's choshu, something like a doll that you throw around that doesn't have that chashivus. The kids play with it and they throw it on the floor, and so then it doesn't have that chashivus. So the Yechaveh Das quotes the Marid that there wouldn't be a cheshad that someone is worshiping it for avodah, for avodah zarah. Yes, question?
Well, what if you have a doll that he had a nose and all the parts, but it clearly did not look like a real person? It was just like a generic type person figure.
I'm not sure. It still is in the figure of a person, but you know it's a dog. But so I'm not sure. Yes.
What about the children and drawing pictures of the sun?
That Ramosha writes. That is a problem. Yeah, I told the kindergarten teacher years ago that they shouldn't really have children drawing pictures of the sun and the moon and stars, because you're teaching them to do something which is an issur d'oraisa. However, if they draw the sun on the corner of the page, it's not the whole sun. So then it's only the way it appears to us in the sky. You see the whole sun. A moon, even a sliver of the moon, would be a problem, because that's the way we see the moon. Right? And different stages of the moon waxing and waning. And stars, if it looks like a star, we don't know what a star looks like. But we don't know what it looks like. But if it looks like a star on the page, that is a problem. That one should not draw that. That could be a shaila, v'nissa d'oraisa. If it looks like, even though it's only two-dimensional. By tzuras adam, it has to be three-dimensional statue. But what? What? Well, he had a dream. He told them about the dream.
Right.
The drawing. You mean drawing? Yes. Yeah. Drawing or voracious. Or voracious. Parshas voracious. Two or three more shaylas I want to discuss. And one is sprinklers on Shabbos. What about leaving on a sprinkler from before Shabbos? Of course, the turn on the sprinkler on Shabbos is Nisa Deraisa of Mashke Zoyim. So the Tzitz Eliyahu has a tshuva in which he says that you're allowed to leave on a sprinkler from before Shabbos, and you don't have to worry that people will see it and think that Mari Sayin, that you turned it on Shabbos. And he says, even though the Ramah Paskin, that to put a wheat in the Rechaim Shomayim, in a water mill before Shabbos, and is going to grind the wheat on Shabbos, so the Gemara and the Memor Paskins this way is going to be also, because of there's a Zilzul Shabbos, Afshan Milsa, people hear the noise, and so that's only when there's a noise. But by the sprinklers, you don't have that noise, and therefore we're not worried, we're not concerned that people will think that you turned on the sprinkler on Shabbos as long as it was going before Shabbos. However, Rav Moshe said that one should turn off the sprinkler before Shabbos, because it's Zilzul Shabbos. It's a Zilzul. He learns that it's a certain desecration, denigration, disgrace to Shabbos to have the sprinklers going on Shabbos. And certainly, according to Rav Moshe, you shouldn't have them going on a timer on Shabbos. That's also a Zilzul Shabbos. So according to Rav Moshe, one should not set the timer that it should go off, that springs should go off on Shabbos. However, there are many people who have timers that it goes off on the timer every single day of the week. And if it's allowed, in California now, they're not allowing you just like twice a week you can water the lawn. So on a timer, there are those who are matir if it's on a timer, and that people know that there are timers. So there's not going to be a chashad, because many, many people today have timers that set off the sprinkler system. However, it's really better if you are using a timer and it's going to go on Shabbos, have it go on in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, so no one will see. That would be lamal yisur, that would be better. Two more topics, and one is a very, very complex topic. I'm going to try to make it simple, but it's so important to talk about this topic, and that is kavlonim on Shabbos, contractors building on Shabbos. So the halacha is amir liyakum nizos on Shabbos. You're not allowed to tell a goy to do malacha for you on Shabbos, and if he's a schir yom, if he's paid by the day or paid by the hour, right? Even if he's doing it on his own, you're not allowed to have him do that on Shabbos. That comes under the issa of Amir Liyakum. If he's a Kabbalah, Kaplan is a contractor who's paid for the job. He's doing the job on his own time, right? You're not paying for the time that he's doing the job, you're paying him for the completion of the job. So the halacha would be, it should be mutar for him to do work on Shabbos, because it's a daita denashe. You're not telling him to do the job on Shabbos. He wants to do it on Shabbos. You're not paying him for the time that he's doing the job on Shabbos. If he would take off Shabbos and work on Sunday, it would be you would be happy with that as well. So it should be mutar for a kablam to work on Shabbos, because it's a daita denashe. However, Shulchan Aruch paskins that a kablam cannot work on mechuba, anything which is mechuba lakarka. He cannot do that on Shabbos because everyone sees it's befahesya. If it's mechuba lakarka, whether it's a building or it's a lawn, like a gardener, it's a garden. So there's going to be an issur marisayim. What's the marisayim? People will think he's a siryon. Right? They won't know that he's a kablon and he's doing it a daita denashe, but they'll think that he was hired to work, he's being paid by the time, and he is a schir yom, and therefore there is an issur marisayim. So then, according to that, a kablon is also, so a contractor or a gardener coming on yontiv, on Shabbos or yontiv, you know, he chooses the day that he comes. You're not telling him which day. He chooses the day, and if Yonta falls out on a Tuesday, and he comes on Tuesday, so that should be a problem. He's mowing the lawn, he's doing melacha, and even though he's a kablon, he's being paid for the job, not for the time that he's working, so there would be a marisayim. Right? So that's what comes out from Shulchan Aruch. The question is, that the poskim talk about, is today where all contractors are kablon. Right? Contractors who are building, who are renovating, they're kablonim. They're paid for the job. They're not paid for their time. So, do we say that there's no longer a marisayim today if a kablon is building a house? Because everybody knows that he's a kablon rather than a schir yom. Do we, and same thing by a gardener. Everybody knows the gardener is a kablon. He's not a schir yom, not being paid for the time. So there are, Will there be an issue of kablon building a building, doing construction on Shabbos when everyone knows that he's a kablon? So the Taz is machmir. He says because still they might still think he's a schir yom, and therefore you are violating an issue of amira liyakam. Rabbi Kiveya and the Prima Godim say they're makel, the more lenient. The minog in the city is that you only use a kablon who's a kablon, not a schir yom, so everyone knows. So then there's no marisayim. The Mishnah Berurah, there's a long bir halacha in Mishnah Berurah where he says, he brings down a machlokes rishon. What's the marisayim by the kablon? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, the marisayim by the kablon is that people might think he's a schir yom, and therefore you're in violation of amira liyakim. However, the Bir Halacha brings a Ran. The Ran says, even if people know he's a kablon, he's being paid for the job and not for the time that he's working, however, people will not make the distinction between kablon and schir yom. They'll make a mistake and say, just like you can use a kablon on Shabbos, you can also use a schir yom on Shabbos. And they'll learn from your using a kablon that a schir yom is mutar. So therefore, even if they know he's a kablon, but still they'll make the mistake and extrapolate from kablon to schir yom. So therefore, the Bir Halacha brings many poskim who hold, like the Ran, the Rav Meinel Meir in Tosis, the Balamor, the Smach, the Hagos Tashri, the Sefer Truma, and therefore the Bir Halacha paskins that a kablon on the house, right? Even though everyone knows, and that's everybody uses today, when they have a contractor, he's working as a kablon, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be usur for him to work on the house on Shabbos, because of that maris ayin. It's also because of maris ayin that people will extrapolate and they'll learn from there that if Kavan is Mutter, so Schir Yom will also be Mutter. In addition, the Neid Lehuda says it's also a problem because maybe there'll be visitors from outside the city who don't know that in this city every contractor is a Kavlon, then because they come from a place where the contractors are Schir Yom as well, and therefore there will be a Mari Sain for the visitors. So this is a major, major shaila that unfortunately there are many people who don't know this, and I see myself in Los Angeles, there are from people who have contractors working on their houses on Shabbos, and Mishnah Berurah says that is going to be a problem of even though they are kavlonim. Let me just conclude with snow removal. Oh, I haven't faced that shaila in many, many years. Snow removal. So everybody knows that it's they are contracted as kavlonim, right? You're not telling them to come on Shabbos. So everybody knows that. I guess it's a big soyrech also. It's a very big soyrech. So
moving snow at the rice.
What?
Is you moving snow at the rice in the first place?
Well, if there's an eruv, there won't be a chotzor, and removing the snow, I don't think it's a deraisa. Well, it's a nuv d'chol. I'm sure this has been discussed by the poskim in the city many, many times. So I'm going to leave it for the Chicago poskim. I'll pass it for the Los Angeles shaykh. But I will look into it. Just in case it snows in Los Angeles. Let me just conclude with a very interesting shaila that Rav Moshe writes. There was a shaila, somebody wrote to Rav Moshe, apparently after the zman of Hadlokas Neiris, there's 18 minutes between Hadlokas Neiris and Shmuel. So Rav Moshe, someone drove Rav Moshe to the yeshiva after the zman Hadlokas Neiris. So somebody wrote Rav Moshe that how can you do that? Because people will think then that you're allowed to do melacha after the zman of Hadlokas Neiris. If they'll see Rav Moshe riding in a car, right, they'll think that you're allowed. Now, the halacha is that a woman is mekabel Shabbos with Hadlokas Neiris, but for a man, it's not Shabbos yet until Shiyam, or until he's mekabel Shabbos. So Rav Moshe was perfectly correct in taking and somebody driving him after Hadlokas Neiris, but the question that they ask, maybe there's a Mari Sain that people will think either they'll be choshed him or they'll think that it's mutter to do malocha. The women will think that it's mutter to do malocha after Hadlokas Neiris, and it really is also. So Rav Moshe writes about a short tshuva about Mari Sain. He says that Mari Sain applies by something which berov hapa'omim occurs ba'ofen ha'asur, v'hu osa zeh ba'ofen ha'muta. Most of the time it's going to be, this is being done in a way of this, like hanging up wet clothes. Most of the time you're hanging up wet clothes because they were just washed, they were just laundered. So most of the time it's done ba'ofen ha'asur, and now it's ba'ofen ha'muta because it rained and it got drenched. So then there's a gzera of Mari Sain. Just like the case of the Kablon. The case of the Kablon, that since there are cases that he's a Schir Yom, so they asked, they made a Nisa of Mari Sain even on the Kablon, because of Mari Sain. However, in the case over here, it's just simply a mistake in halacha that they're making. Because the halacha is that a man is allowed to do malacha after Hadlokas Neiris. It's only the woman who is asked to do malacha. So therefore, it's a dovah mefursam lakol. Everybody knows. If there's somebody who's making a mistake and thinking that a man is not allowed to do malacha after Hadlokas Neiris, but that it's not shayach to ask that because of Mari Sain. Because the truth is, the correct halacha is that there is no issa. So Mari Sain doesn't apply where there's a toast that somebody is making a mistake in the halacha. It's only if they're making a mistake in the mitzvahs of what actually is happening, like they're hanging up the wet clothes. But if it's a tos and din, there is no iso marisai. So Ramesha said, I'm really was justified. However, Ramesha writes, since, I mean, want to read the Lashon of Ramesha, the Godol Hador, Kena v'yesh chas v'sholom kilkul v'ezo noshim v'anoshim. Since there might be a kilkul to some women or to some men, she gidamu sheyesh b'nesiyah v'imchoni sachas man adlokas neiris, is a zilzul l'shabbos kodesh. That they'll think, if Ramesha is riding in a car after adlokas neiris, it's a zilzul, it's a desecration of Shabbos, a disgrace to Shabbos. So ere below neder, he said, b'li neder, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to get a ride after Hadlokas Neiris, Shalom Lisa Ol Bimchonis, Mizman Hadlokas Neiris Ad HaYeshiva. So Ramosha was like Nevatel himself, even though there was nothing wrong that he did. But Chas V'Sholom, that there should be some kind of a kilkul, that people, even though they're making a mistake, that there'll be, it'll bring about some zilzul to Shabbos. Ramosha said, B'li Neder, I'm not going to do it again. So I hope that this year, there are many other examples of Marisayim, but I hope that this year really is the basis, the principles, and some of the very important applications of Marisayim.
You said the toys were okay or no? The toy dolls.